Eric, why don't you ever preach the gospel? This was a question that was legitimately asked me a number of years ago by a person who regularly attended my church but wasn't an official member. And I will admit, I was a bit confused by the query. I've always considered myself to be a pretty straight-up Orthodox preacher and theologian. And so to have someone tell me, essentially, that I'm a heretic can be a bit disconcerting. But if I'm teaching something that's wrong, I certainly want to know about it. And so I engaged in a conversation with this gentleman, and I eventually realized that the person who was giving me a hard time was actually an antinomian. Now, that doesn't mean he's from the country of antinomia. That word antinomian literally means no law. And people who adhere to this philosophy believe that since we are under grace, there's no longer any law for Christians. And to an extent, that may be true, but this particular individual believed that any pursuit of holy living or sanctification on the part of a Christian was sinful, because for him, it was a way of trying to earn our salvation through works. Now, the problem with antinomianism is that these people look at the concept of law in a very one-dimensional way, and they're unable to separate our behavior as Christians from legalism. If we strive to behave in a certain way, according to these folks, it must be because we are trying to follow a set of rules, and thus we are denying the grace of God. But this is certainly not how the Apostle Paul saw it. And of course, Paul is the apostle of grace. He is adamant that we are not justified by works of the law, but rather by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. However, this does not mean that Paul does not believe that how we live our lives doesn't matter. And that is the theme of our epistle reading this morning. Now, Paul begins our reading from Philippians by saying, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Now, Paul has just finished telling his readers about how our righteousness comes through faith in Christ alone. Earlier in chapter 3, this very same chapter, he even describes his own standing under the law when he says that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, these are stacked Jewish credentials. But Paul follows all of that up by saying, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." He's telling us that when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our own righteousness, all of the things that he did before are absolutely worthless. They don't matter because true righteousness doesn't come through any of those things, but rather true righteousness comes from faith in Christ. So on the surface, it may seem strange that just a few verses later, he's telling us to imitate him, to do the things that he does. It's almost like Paul is saying, you no longer have to follow all of these rules. Just become a Christian And here's a whole new set of rules that you have to follow. And unfortunately, this is how many Christians approach the Christian faith today. They come to find freedom in Christ only to be handed a brand new set of do's and don'ts. But that's not actually what Paul is doing. Instead, what he's doing is talking about the development of Christian character. And this is a very different concept than legalism. Now, if I'm a legalist, I follow the rules for the sake of following the rules. For example, there are all kinds of rules that you have to follow if you want to fly on an airplane these days. You have to take off your shoes when you go through security. You have to make sure you board the plane with your group number. You have to stow your carry-on bag under the seat in front of you, and don't forget to keep your tray tables and seat backs in the upright and locked positions. Now, even though we may not understand the reasoning or the rationale for many of these rules, we typically abide by them, because if we don't, we might not get to our destination. Or at the least, we might wind up on a YouTube video somewhere. Now, for many Christians today, this describes really their own spiritual life. But instead of going to Cincinnati, their ultimate destination is heaven. And if they want to get there without being escorted off the plane by the spiritual air marshals, then they're going to just have to follow all of these rules that Jesus has set up. But Paul is looking at things from a different perspective. Instead of looking at it like a passenger, Paul is looking at it like a pilot. Although we would all agree that a pilot has rules that he or she needs to follow, being a pilot is about much more than just checking off a bunch of requirements. When someone's learning to fly, of course, those rules are very important. But the more time they spend in the cockpit and in the air, the more they begin to develop what we might call the character of a pilot. So when the airplane hits a wind shear, you don't want your pilot thinking, okay, what are the rules that I need to follow at this point? Instead, you want him to be able to react immediately, without even thinking about it, almost instinctually, not because he's following a rule, but because he knows that it's the right thing to do as a pilot. It's important for a pilot to think and act and behave like a pilot, not just in order to get to the final destination, but because that kind of behavior is important the entire time that airplane is in the sky. This development of what we might call a second nature for pilots is not something that comes quickly or naturally. Nobody gets into an airplane cockpit and knows how to fly instinctually. This is something that needs to be developed. And it's developed over many years of flying. And it often comes from watching and imitating other seasoned pilots until those things become almost automatic parts of who they are. And this is really what Paul is talking about when he calls on the Philippians to imitate him. It isn't about them simply following a new set of guidelines so that they can all be good, check off the boxes, and go to heaven. It's about Christians learning how to be citizens of the kingdom of God. It's about developing Christian character. In verse 20, Paul says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Even though Paul is living in this world when he's writing this, he constantly has an eye on the kingdom of God. And he knows that if we are going to be raised like Christ, and if we are going to be heirs with him in that kingdom when he returns, we had better start getting ready for that now. As we talked about last week, we must develop those kingdom habits today so that when Jesus does return and the dead are raised, those things will be so ingrained into us that they will simply be second nature. Now, the problem is that despite what you may have been told, these kingdom traits are not natural to us. Now, people will often tell me that love is natural, but hate has to be taught. But that is simply not true. And if you don't believe me, just see what happens when you hand a baby to a stranger. What do? They cry. That is what is natural to us. When I was in Colorado Springs, we would sometimes have the not-so-friendly folks of the Westboro Baptist Church come and protest at our church on Sunday mornings. Well, they called themselves a church, but they really didn't act like it. These folks hated everyone. They hated gays. They hated soldiers. They hated Jewish people. They hated black people. The list was very long and extensive. Pretty much, if you weren't part of their church, you were on their hate list. Now, if hate is something that has to be taught, then these people must have been the smartest, most gifted people ever. But I've actually stood toe-to-toe with them, and I can assure you, they are not. They are doing nothing more than accessing their default base nature. But kingdom traits, things such as love, humility, sacrifice, these need to be taught. These need to be imitated. They need to be nurtured and developed in our hearts. You see, our behavior, our lifestyle, our character, all of these things matter not because that's how we get to heaven, but rather because that is how we live now as citizens of heaven. This is how we prepare ourselves to live in God's kingdom, and we do it now as we await Jesus' return. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to drive the sag wagon at a bike race in Colorado. And my job was essentially to drive at the back of the race and pick up anyone who dropped out. And the course was 80 miles long, which for a seasoned racer really isn't a big deal. But for a newbie, that can be a really tough distance. And around the halfway point, I started picking up lots of teenagers who had dropped out of the race. And I got to talking to them, and I discovered that they were all part of a youth cycling program, and many of them were very new to the sport. When I asked them about their training, I was shocked to find out that none of these kids before this race had ever ridden their bikes more than 20 miles. It was no wonder they were dropping like flies out of this race, because they hadn't been adequately prepared for what was to come. Their muscles simply didn't know what it meant to ride that far. They hadn't been trained for a race like this, and as a result, they were not able to be the bike racers that they really wanted to be. Well, Christian character also needs time to grow and develop, and we need to do things over and over and over again until they become a part of us, because that's actually who God created us to be. A big part of developing Christian character requires that we have godly examples to watch and imitate. When we were in college, my brother and I loved to go skiing on the weekends. That was back in the days when skiing was somewhat affordable. And we were decent skiers, but I wouldn't have called us experts at that time. But one winter, Mark dated a girl who was on the University of Colorado ski team. And it was all that he could do to keep up with her as she sped down the mountain. But the more he followed her, the better skier he became. And then when I would go skiing with Mark, I would have to follow him and try and keep up with him, and then I became a better skier. Well, in the same way, we need to follow and imitate other Christians as a way to grow our own Christian character. This really is the essence of what we call discipleship. At its core, discipleship isn't a program or a book or a class that we take. It really is a relationship. Discipleship is about spending time with more mature Christians and learning from them and imitating them. Now, if you've spent much time with Father Larry, you'll know that he is always ready to pray at the drop of a hat for someone. Now, at first, it may seem kind of strange. And it could even make you feel uncomfortable because, let's face it, this isn't something that everyone just normally does. But the more time you spend with him, the more you watch him do this, the more comfortable it becomes. And the next thing you know, you're praying for someone right there in the grocery store line. Now, of course, we all know that Father Larry doesn't do this because he's somehow trying to earn his way to heaven. And he thinks the more people he prays for, the more check marks he gets and the better off he is. No, he does it because that's what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. He does it because over decades of being a Christian, he has developed a strong Christian character. And those are the kinds of things that Christians simply do. He learned it by watching others do it. And now we learn by watching him. I'd like for each one of you here today to consider the question, who is developing my character? Who influences me? Who am I imitating? If we're honest with ourselves, we may be disappointed by the answer to those questions. Our behavior matters not because we are following a bunch of rules, but because we are seeking to follow Jesus. Now, I know that in this life, we will never be perfect. We will never live up to the standard that God has set for us. And that's okay because our perfection comes not through what we do, but from the righteousness of Christ alone. At the same time, we are called to start living into our kingdom citizenship now. And we do that by seeking more and more each day to imitate the King of Kings through the power of the Holy Spirit. So look for men and women of God who you can learn from and imitate, and then seek to do the same thing for someone else. When we say that we strive to be disciples who make disciples, it's about more than just giving people basic Christian information. It's about developing Christian character so that we all might be ready for the kingdom. Now, I realize that Christ the King will likely never be a 3,000-member megachurch. I don't know where we'd put them all. But that's okay. Because I don't think that's what God is calling us to do. But if we can one day say that we are a group of kingdom citizens that other people seek to imitate, then we will have lived into our calling. And to God be the glory. Amen.